everyone. This is Nick Stevens. I'm the pastor here at Living Faith. I just want to take a moment and welcome you to the podcast. As we begin the year, I want to personally invite you to consider taking that next step in your faith journey. Perhaps that means sharing this podcast with others, choosing to contribute financially to the mission of the church, or taking that step to send us an email or come visit us in person. Whatever your next step is, we want to encourage you to consider how you can join us in living as an expression of Jesus today. Thanks for joining us. Enjoy the podcast.
Do you ever feel like following Jesus is a catch-22? Just being pulled back and forth between, God, what do I do? Right? You ever ponder that perhaps we spend so much time trying to ask God what we should do rather than asking Him who we should become? See, we're here this morning to ask God to teach us who to become. We're going to spend some time here in the scriptures, and I don't want to go too long because, if I'm being honest, church has already taken place here this morning. In the hearts, and in the spirit, and in the worship, and in the love. But I want to point us towards the scriptures because I don't want this to be the only moment that we move into the scriptures throughout the week. I want this to be just an anchor point. I think it's more important that instead of us going into the scriptures, we actually need the scriptures to go into us. Amen. So when we leave this place, take what I've offered and go to the Word yourself. I appreciate your prayer so much, Justin. I appreciate Ben and Michelle, your words, and all that God is doing. We're in this spiritual battle. We're not just gathering here on Sunday morning to connect or to have a party or to knock together some cups of coffee. We're here because the spiritual battle is real. And God's anointed us to be the overflow of His love in a world that so desperately needs Jesus. And whatever it is that we're facing right now in our culture, I think it's very painful. I think there is this full, intense spiritual battle taking place that is duly set against Jesus. And so I pray that we'd be a people of courage. Right? We have a spirit of courage. Because we have to stand. We have to be seen. We have to be Christ's presence in this culture, in our workplace, in our families. And so, when I began the series Catch 22, what we're doing is we're walking through the longest chapter in the book of the Bible, which is Psalm 119, and going by letters that the author actually writes poetry according to each letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So we started talking about left last week, which is strength, authority. We simply just said very simply that coming to Jesus begins with a simple question and response. It begins with saying, Jesus, I give you my life. It's us saying that we are no longer going to choose our own authority over His. We're going to submit to His. And so that's where it begins, that we begin to say, okay, Jesus, if you are the authority, you have to teach me. I pray that we would be a people that continues to lay down our perceptions of our authority. Have you noticed how we grow in our own confidence instead of Christ? You see this really rather significant in the schools of philosophy or even academics. I mean, we're not only good at learning something, but once we learn something, we convince ourselves that we know it. And then when we know it, we actually somehow agree with ourselves that we are experts on it. And so we end up taking these positions and these stances of authority and full confidence because we assume something in our own agreement for it to be true. But those of you in this room who know, as you age, the older you get, the more you know, the more you learn, you actually come to the realization the less you know. right? But see, I think the enemy really pursues us into finding this small plot of ground that we can stand on, even if it is self-designed, even though it will under scrutiny fall apart, even if it is built on lies. We'd rather stand in this place of self-confidence than we would go on a catch-22 hoping that God's not going to put us on ground that's going to sink. See, I think that's where we find the catch-22 in our life. Trusting in a God that we don't fully know, or standing on weak ground that we design ourselves. And so when we look at Elath, what we're saying is, God, we're gonna stand on your ground. We might have our concerns. We might not fully know your heart for us. We might not fully know your truth, but we're going to lay our life down, and we're going to ask you to begin to build. But before we can build, we have to wipe clear the foundation. How many of you are familiar with prototypes? Right? Luke's pretty familiar as an engineer. So in our house, we love prototypes. Prototypes in our house have really been our, shall I say, our experience for not getting upset when things go wrong. Because in order to make a decision, in order to build something, in order to create something, guess what? Your first attempt at it's not going to be perfect. And I grew up as a perfectionist. So the moment something went wrong, if it wasn't the way, if it didn't match the way that I thought it would be, I was done with it. So every good idea that I would have, I would really fork it because it just didn't turn out perfect. But anyone who's designing something knows that you never get it right the first time. Right? It takes years of practice and cultivation and learning to design and redesign until you get something that's, well, sometimes even just acceptable and suitable to meet the need. And yet somehow, we just want to get it right. We want to just get this relationship with Jesus right the first time. And so we build. We build, and we don't really care that it's wrong sometimes, because the idea of wiping clean the foundation and building again just seems to be anti-us, anti-human. And so we build. But see, this is what the scriptures talk about. It's actually an invitation. It's the invitation to recognize, and we do it when we recognize that we are not the authority, and we recognize that Christ loves us, and we can build our life on His strength. When we take these risks and we begin to build, and they're wrong, guess what? We're forgiven. Wipe it clean. And let's begin to build again. And that's where I want to begin. Second letter. Bet. Turn with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, beginning in verse 9, the letter is bet. Bet means, at its core, boundaries. It means house. And this is what the poet writes. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it, according to your word. With a whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord, keeping your statutes. With my lips, I declare the rules of your mouth, and the way of your testimonies I delight, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. See, the letter bet is quite simply house, boundaries. Whether you engage in a conversation with a counselor or a life coach, or whether you just recognize this in yourself, you recognize how valuable boundaries are. I mean, I know there's a huge political conversation happening right now around boundaries. And so maybe you're here and you say, well, you know, boundaries aren't that important, or they're kind of important to me. Or maybe you think boundaries are important, but you don't really have any. And maybe you haven't even actually come to this point in your life and said, okay, boundaries are a great place to start. I mean, we just talked about the strength of God, the authority of God, and the very next letter is bet, boundaries. And the opening verse is, how do I keep my way pure? So I think that's a very good beginning statement, because I think that's pretty common in all of us. It might not sound the same way. How do I keep my way pure? I think many of us might say, okay, how do I be successful? How do I be significant? How do I live a significant life? How do I move towards accomplishing the dreams and the passions of my heart? But I think they're all pretty similar. How do I remain pure? How do I protect what has been placed inside of me? Just by a show of hands, how many of you lock your doors at night? Interesting, huh? Should we do that again so you know whose house you can break into? See, whether you would cognitively think about it or agree or not, you think boundaries are a good thing. You think boundaries are a good thing. Right? How many people are there in their lives? If you lock your doors at night, how many people have you shared a key with? Perhaps a neighbor? Perhaps a close friend to be able to access? But if you've done that, it's someone that you trust. Right? It's someone that, in case of emergency, you know that they have access to come in through your boundaries to offer assistance, to help gird up what would have been needed or lost in that moment. Right? How many of you would just carelessly or have carelessly just made 1,000 keys to your house? Put some on the tables at Starbucks. You know, just let them overflow from your pockets as you're walking through Target. You know? Put directions and little maps on them. So the keys to your house are just everywhere. You don't do that, do you? Whatever the keys to the house that you have, you only have a couple, and they're in the trusted hands of those who are entrusted into this space of creating this boundary. And what are boundaries for? Well, they typically have two causes, two intentions, right? To keep out what needs to stay out, and to keep in what you hope to keep in. So we begin to ask the Lord to show us, what type of boundaries do we need? What type of boundaries does He want us to have? What are we asking Him for? See, I actually wonder how much we've actually contemplated the reality of this, because we have to return to a left. We have to return to His authority, because I think if we're being honest, we fight way too hard to keep things in the house that shouldn't be there. And we fight way too hard to keep out what God wants to bring in. And so this poet begins with these very simple words. God, how do I keep in what you want to keep in? And how do you keep out? How do I keep out what you want to keep out? And he actually begins to give us some very tangible things here. In verse 10, he says, with a whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. See, and when we begin to lay boundaries, we have to begin with identifying what we want in the house and what we want outside of the house. Do we have a longing for Christ in the house? Do we have a longing to keep sin out of the house? Now, the scripture is very clear in the New Testament, which is just, I'm just so grateful and blessed. God has given us the deposits. As we move into relationship with Him through Christ, He's given us the Holy Spirit to help us to begin to identify. The Holy Spirit convicts and directs us in what He wants inside the house and what He wants outside of the house. See, when we're your followers of Jesus, Paul writes, there is fruits that He wants to be coming from our lives. So we can actually know whether or not we are building our house, whether we are rooted in Jesus or not. See, if our lives are overflowing with fear, bitterness, anxiety, temptation, pride, anger, criticism, judgment. These are things that are not the things that Christ wants in the house. They are not established in Christ. Because what Christ, when we're rooted in Christ, what Christ begins to put in the house is faith and love and hope and peace and joy and patience and long-suffering. Galatians 5:22. And so we can actually know whether or not we've made Christ the center focus of our lives, because we can actually see what is in our house. But it begins with us first being very honest about what do we want in the house? What do we want outside of the house? And then he actually gets more practical, and I love this. In verse 11, I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. See, there's this very practical thing that begins to happen in our lives when we move into a relationship with Jesus. And this is a struggle for all of us. We come to the cross and we step into this evangelistic moment where we move toward Jesus and we have a decision to make. Yes, Jesus, or no Jesus. And if it's no Jesus, we go about our own way and we continue to build our lives on our own authority. But if it's yes, Jesus, we move into this relationship with him. And this moment at the cross actually becomes a pathway, a threshold, a door that we are invited to move through. You've heard me say this before, but sometimes we stop at the cross. And we believe Jesus' invitation, that his death and burial and resurrection, that it stops here and we receive his forgiveness. But we actually continue to live in brokenness. Have you ever realized that God doesn't want us to remain broken? That God actually, through the work of Christ, the Holy Spirit, actually wants to move you towards wholeness? Now, I'm not saying that moving towards wholeness says, Jesus, we no longer need you. What I'm saying is that through the power and the healing of building these boundaries, we become a healthy people who begin to understand how we use our finances, how we invest in our lives, how we use our significance to influence and serve and move and drive the mission of Christ forward. So I have some friends who have been involved many years now in the church that I'm quite fond of, and some of the language that they use quite regularly right now is love what you build. Love what you build. See, another way to recognize and notice whether or not that Jesus is on the inside of the house, or whether Jesus is on the outside of the house, or there's more sin on the inside of the house than there is sin on the outside of the house, is demonstrating the things that we build, and the things that we love, and the things that are being built. See, when we allow Jesus to be the center of our house, we begin to take on his heart. We begin to love the things that he loves. We begin to build the things that he builds. See, and as we fall in love with who Jesus is and what Jesus is doing, we would naturally love what we build. You ever build something that you just don't love? Some of us just love to build. What would it look like if we love what we build? See, and this is my vision for the church. As Ben and Michelle were speaking. Yeah, I was weeping. I don't want to admit that publicly. I couldn't force back the tears. For two reasons. One, because hearing God's testimonies and hearing what God is doing and moving and the craving and the longing, watching Jesus meet people is just the most overwhelming, beautiful thing I can ever long for. But the second thing that really hit me was, this is who the church is designed to be. See, the church is designed to come together, and a whole gathering hour is supposed to be filled with every person in the room sharing those stories. And praying over one another as they're caught in the middle of those stories. And I recognize how culture is pulling all of us in the church into so much busyness, into building other things. In a culture, we are told that to build your career. And some of us find ourselves going through the day and finishing the day just not loving what we built. But we do it because we have to put food on the table. Sometimes we find ourselves working in a job that we don't even want to do, but we just keep doing it. And we forget and we lose the perspective that God wants to use us in it, that we can love what we build, or else maybe we should go and move and build where God's love, where God is already loving. I think we get sucked into this culture because we lose the establishment of these boundaries. The poet says, "So I store up your word in my heart." You want to know how you can move towards keeping your way pure? You want to know how we establish the boundaries? It's by getting all the good stuff on the inside. Getting all the good stuff on the inside. Now I want you to know, the Bible, even though it is God's breath and breathed word, I would probably say to you, for it to have all the instructions that we need for life, it's actually pretty small. When I would think of, if God really wanted to impart truth and knowledge to us, I would think of libraries and libraries of God's material. So in thoughts, it's kind of small. You ever try to memorize all of it? It's an awful lot, isn't it? So maybe God just wanted to give us enough so that there would always be enough to store up, to keep moving in, to keep filling in the cracks and the spaces on the inside of those boundaries. "I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." See, I really, really believe the more truth that we put in, the more that we treasure, the more of the things that we build inside that are Christ, the Bible says the more fortified our boundaries will become. "That I might not sin against you." See, it's awfully ridiculous to suggest that we would actually walk around town dropping keys out of our pocket saying, "Oh, here, we don't lock our house, or come on in, break in any time." I know it sounds ridiculous, but I want you to know I think we do it spiritually. I think the boundaries of our spiritual lives have fallen so drastically that we just let anyone in, and we just let anyone in and to steal and to topple and to take out what it is that we're trying to protect. And the only way that we actually keep out the sin is to store up all this truth. So that no matter what temptations we are facing, no matter where we are, the truth of God is stored up and can overflow. And gratitude can go deep and can gird up. Because we are in a real battle. I was looking at Genesis 4 this past week, and and paraphrasing my own words, there's this reality where God has a conversation with Cain. Many of you remember it. He says, and he calls him, and he says, "Listen, leave this sin. Leave it on the outside. Walk away from it, because the enemy's crouching at your door to have you." These boundaries are essential. These boundaries are real. And they're not just, they're more than this physical, practical imagery. It's actually, there's a battle waging for our soul. He goes on in verse 12, "Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips, I declare all the rules of your mouth." For the first thing that we can do is put in all the good things. The second thing is to keep putting in good things. The third thing Keep putting in good things. God, teach me. Teach me what you want me to move out. Teach me what you want me to keep putting in. Where can you post scripture? How can you memorize it? Who can you be memorizing it with? What are you contemplating throughout the day? Which keeps your mind centered on what is keeping the truth of the Word of God in. And in verse 13, second, fourth, fifth, sixth thing, with my lips I declare all the rules. Verse 14, the way of your testimony is delights. I delight as much as in riches. See, another way that we keep fortifying these boundaries is not only to keep putting in truth, but to keep speaking of the truth that's in there. To keep speaking of God's testimonies, keep speaking His truth. We've talked previously when we talked about some of these other letters. We're going to see as we walk through. There is power in saying the name of Jesus. There is power. Let's just be honest. All right? Michelle, I love your words. I'm an extreme introvert. And like you, the way life feels overwhelming, I just want to lie down and close up the doors and not go out. But yet, as you're sharing your testimonies, as you're speaking about who Jesus is and what Jesus is doing, I'm starting to cry. I'm starting to weep. How can that happen? How does that even happen? Well, it's the Spirit of the living God connecting us, revealing His presence among us. And I'm being touched as that testimony is flowing out, and she's being strengthened as she's speaking it out. Because the boundaries get built on, the boundaries get fortified because we keep talking about what God is doing. I think many times we find ourselves so empty and so weak because we just stop talking about what Jesus is doing. We stop speaking about what He's doing in our lives. We stop having something to say about what Jesus is doing. And so we build these boundaries. We build this house. Verse 15, I will meditate, I will fix my eyes. This continuing focus for verse 16, so I do not forget your word. I do not forget your word, so that I may not forget your word. The passage that, in the narrative that comes to mind, I just want to jump over to, is in the book of Nehemiah. So I think we're facing a very real time in the life of our church, in our own, in the life of our culture, in the life of our families. That we have to seriously understand where God is pointing us. He's pointing us towards His authority, and He's calling us to have a passion towards the foundation of being His house. And Nehemiah just came to mind. I want to read this. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4. He said this, understanding the context that Nehemiah is in this time and space where the walls of Jerusalem, the walls of God's city have been torn down and burned and destroyed. And in the words of his own people, they are all humiliated and they are susceptible and they are open to shame. And here's Nehemiah's response. My prayer is that ours would be the same. As soon as I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days. And I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And I said, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love Him and keep His commandments. Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servants that I now pray before. And now pray before you day and night for the people of Israel, your servants. Confessing the sin of the people of Israel, which we have sinned against you, even I and my father's house, we have sinned, we have acted very corruptly against you, and have not kept your commandments, your statutes, and the rules that you commanded your servant Moses. Remember the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though you are outcast in the utmost parts of heaven, from there, I will gather them and bring them to the place that I have chosen to make my name dwell there. And then over in chapter 2, verse 9. Sorry, let me in Nehemiah 2, verse 11, he actually gets permission from the king and he goes to Jerusalem. And he says this, he writes this, "So I went to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. And then I arose in the night, and I and a few men with me. And I told no one what God had placed in my heart to do. There was no animal with me but the one which I rode. And I went out by night by the valley gate to the dragon's, valley gate to the dragon's spring and to the dung gate. And I inspected the walls of Jerusalem that were broken down and its gates that had been destroyed by fire. Then I went on to the fountain gate and the king's pool, but there was no room for the animal that was under me to pass. Then I went up by night to the valley, went up in the night by the valley and inspected the wall, and I turned back and entered by the valley gates and so returned. And the officials did not know where I had gone or what I was doing, and I had not yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, and the rest who were going to do the work. But then I said to them, 'You see the trouble we are in? How Jerusalem lies in ruins with its gates burned? Come, let's build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer suffer derision.'" Further on it says, "So they strengthened their hands for the good work." They strengthened their hands for the good work. Nehemiah left with a passion after weeping, after seeing the walls of God's city where God wanted to make his home among his people. They were torn down because of nothing other than sin, because their boundaries had fallen. Sorry, their boundaries fell because they left God. The boundaries crumbled because they left God's commandments. And Nehemiah shows up and he gives this vision and he calls them back. He calls them back not just to rebuild the walls, but to rebuild the boundaries, to rebuild lives that are built on God's commands. They're built on God's promises. And the people of God receive one tremendous message. That's love what we build. That's love what we build. I know that we're in transitions here at Living Faith, and I know that we don't even know what those transitions are yet. So we ask you to keep praying. But we do know this, we know that God's building. We know that God is doing something amazing among this community. And so we have to build, we have to continue to establish these boundaries. And it's my prayer this morning that as a church, that we would love what we build. That we continue to love the kingdom of God and that we build the kingdom of God. That we continue to love the person sitting next to us and that we build the person sitting next to us. But in order to do that, my friends, we're going to have to continue to erect the boundaries in our lives that keep fortifying and putting the truth and the authority of the Word of God in, giving the Spirit complete control, giving Jesus full reign in our lives, and pushing sin out. Father God, as we finish this morning, I just thank you for your worship. I thank you for your truth. And Father, I pray that your word would go into us. That the walls of our lives would become fortified, these boundaries, that your house would be fortified. We are your house. We are living stones. So Holy Spirit, we need your vision. We need the same vision that Nehemiah took to his people. We need your vision, Holy Spirit, and what it is that you, who you want us to become. How you want us to be strengthened, how you want us to build. And I just thank you so much that you are already doing it. But I also want to begin, we want to begin with repentance, God, that we want to acknowledge that there are things inside our lives that we want out, that you want us to move out. We recognize that we do that by submitting to you. So Holy Spirit, give us the courage. Give us the courage to stand. Give us the courage to step into these battles. So as the years pass, we will find something being built that we just so desperately, desperately love, and that all that we desperately love will be built because we so desperately love you.
Thanks again for joining us here at the Living Faith Podcast. If you haven't done so yet, a great way to stay connected is to go to the App Store and search for Living Faith Lancaster. There, you'll be able to get notifications, listen to weekly podcasts, access Bible reading plans, and more. God is doing so much work in our lives here, and we would love to be part of it with you. So listen, share, visit, and give. Everything you do to partner with us advances the message of the kingdom of God. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.